Are you working on your author career but struggling to get that first book published? Does the goal of being an author seem too lofty? Or are thoughts of having multiple books and making a full-time living are as fantastical as living in Cinderella's castle? Welcome to Discovered Wordsmiths, a podcast where aspiring authors can be heard. Join Stephen Schneider as he finds and talks to authors you may not know, but authors that have gotten their foot on the author career path. Hear what they've done to get there and where they want to go now. Settle back. It's time for a bit of inspiration and advice. Come listen to today's Discovered Wordsmith.
All right, David, welcome to a Discovered Wordsmith podcast again. It's good to see you, actually see you this time. How have things been going for
you? Thank you, Stephen. I'm so glad to be here again, as you said. And it's great to actually see you this time. Things have been as good as they could have been. A crazy time.
Right. Now, I believe last time we talked, your wife was commuting and you were living...
I was in Madrid at the time.
Was Madrid, okay.
In Madrid at the time, but now we're back to Munich, which is where my boys were born. My boys are close to... They're going to turn 7 in a couple of months. So they actually started school.
Nice.
10 days ago here. So that's on top of everything that's been going on lately. Trying to figure out school in a foreign language and all that. So it's so yes, but since then, of course, many things have happened. And part of the reason why we're back to Munich is because my wife is not commuting that much anymore. There's no point. And then it just made more sense to be here because this is, I don't know, for many reasons, we consider this to be B2B.
Got it. Nice. Okay. So when we talked, you had written book one of your Project Adventure series and you were working on book two. And in the last year, even with moving and your boys starting school, you've got 4 books out now. So tell us what's been going on in your writing to get 4 books in your series out.
The short answer is I've gotten better at it. And yeah, book one was a great learning experience, but there's a learning curve to everything, and writing is no different. So book one, when it was really finished and out there, it just took so much. I learned so many things that I had no idea I would have to learn in order to create something as complex as an actual book, as a self-published author. This is quite an undertaking. But then later on, the act of creating books became super easy all of a sudden. Creating books, writing and creating the covers, everything that goes into a book, front matter, ad matter, all of that stuff, description, teasers, you name it. All that became because I've set it up with book number one and book one, and then everything, you know, all the subsequent books were just so much easier to make, to produce, and not just write. Writing has become even more fun because, again, I now know more how to actually write a book, how to create an outline, how to use a single idea, a single image of an interesting scene, and basically build a book around. So it's been really extremely interesting to see just how when you start working on something and start creating, how it all comes around and how it all fits into play, into all the pieces that kind of start fitting in.
Right, right.
It's really interesting and it just gets easier. Then on the other hand, and we can probably have this as a whole different topic, is what became much more difficult, which is obviously marketing and sales and all that stuff.
So let's look at a couple of those. So yes, obviously, you would hope the writing gets easier, publishing gets a little easier, you learn it. Did you think about doing a different series, a different book, or have you always just wanted to write this series and write a whole bunch of books before even thinking of something else?
This series, because I'm not a schooled author. I don't know if there is such a thing, but I'm not. This was a hobby, an idea, a challenge, if you will, which turned into something more serious, more professional. That's the story that happened with me. And of course, when I started writing book one, and then book two, book three, book four, it's just when I realized that now I'm I can call myself an author because I know what I'm doing in that regard. Then I definitely started thinking about other projects that I would like to do. This series is still a very cool, and the way it's set up, it's an episodic series. Basically, you can read, you know, books in any order you want to. It really doesn't. There might be, but I'm careful of putting a few, you know, nuggets of information here and there to explain the series or the characters or the world that I've created. But pretty much you can read any book as a standalone almost. In that regard, it's very similar to Jack Reacher, for example.
Okay.
Which is now, what, 26 books or something like that?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a few nuggets of information about his background and all of this and that. But these books even go, they jump in time. They go 30 years forward, 20 years back. It doesn't really. So in that regard, this series, Project Adventure series that I created is something that could go on technically. Yeah, it could run on forever. But it's probably not going to. And I had ideas of starting something a bit more serious, maybe still in the middle grade genre, but a bit more serious, maybe like a standalone novel, which, especially when you're a self-published author, you have to think about the marketing and the, you know, financial aspect, if you will, which is proving to be the most difficult thing in all of this. And then series, actually, they at least have potential. So then, but you can start working on a standalone novel and then think about later on maybe how to turn that into a series. But I didn't want to start working on a new series from scratch. I wanted to focus on creating, when I said earlier, something a little bit more serious, more depth of character, just a longer book. Because my books, these books, they're not short, but they're relatively short because they're just fun. They're just action, adventure. There's no big ideas behind, except your friendship and loyalty. Adventure brings you to learning new skills and stuff like that. These are the very general ideas that are in the Project Adventure books.
Middle grade, typical.
Typical, exactly. It's not, but as opposed to many other books in the genre that I've actually read, my competitors, if you want to call them that, there's always this very tragical aspect of the protagonist, and there's always death in the family. There's always health issues. There's deep internal pre-adolescent. The protagonists are basically fighting themselves. They have these huge dramas basically going on in their heads. I don't do that. This particular series is not that. But this is something that I would like to tackle a little bit more in the future. Again, as a part of the learning curve, as a part of the journey, how to create an even more compelling characters or protagonist, how to create how to put more depth into the plot, more layers, things like that. Definitely, I am thinking about stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay. And you mentioned some things have gotten harder. So what's gotten harder?
Definitely marketing part, because I was this naive fool thinking that if you write more books and you put them up and the algorithms are going to recognize it and something's going to happen and maybe somebody's going to, books are going to find their own audience and all that. And it just doesn't happen. Not for me anyway. So I'm actually now working with a professional marketing and public relations company. And I'm trying to really make make a step forward in my marketing and public relations efforts in order to improve sales. Because honestly, it's really tough. Like you can imagine creating, producing four, even though they're not very expensive books, but they're still four books, and you invest so much time and energy, and whatever you do, you have to pay for it. And then there's no income on your books, it's not significant, and it's bad for morale, I would say. Okay. Very bad for morale, yeah.
And I definitely can understand that, because everyone has that kind of thought in their head. Oh, I'm going to put this up. People are going to love it. It's going to be all over. Yeah. It takes a lot of, there's a lot of authors and books out there that they've written one book and then that's it. You don't hear anymore. And sometimes it even says book one or something. Yeah. And they stop because
it should say book only.
Yeah, the fact that you've continued and you're making strides. So you're not only getting better, as you said, but I'm sure you're learning things. And each time you do something, you've gotten a little better to do it for the next time.
Absolutely. That is one of the things that is really pushing me forward. And the knowledge that every book that I do is that little bit better. And honestly, I hear that from this small audience that I do have. They really love it. And my editors, I know the progression. And even they were really happy, or they enjoyed the stories, but there was always, you know, lots to do in book one. Book two, not so much. But by the time I got to book four, like the first sentence of my editor was like, "You really hit the stride with this book. Like this, you already, you know how to do this now. There's no more deep developmental editing going on." And I send the manuscript over to the editor and she comes back already doing copy edit and just, you know, fixing grammar and stuff and it's typos. So it makes me a little bit proud, of course. And on the other hand, it does give you optimism to move forward. And as you said, there's so much, so many authors and books out there. It's incredibly tough to get your books a large audience quickly. But now, as I said, I'm trying to work on. That's actually the reason why I'm now at only four books, because I would have, at my pace, I would have been now, you know, starting book seven or something. But over the last couple of months, and well, more than a couple, maybe 6-7 months, I've been really trying to focus on some other things, and it's taking away a little bit. So I can't wait for all this to be settled again and organized, put into place, so I can actually continue with just the dividing part, because that's the most fun part.
Yeah, everybody wishes they could just write.
Exactly.
Well, the good thing is you've gotten a series and you've got four books out. So everybody says once you have several books out, you have more things you can do, more marketing avenues open to you, and it helps. So when you came out with book two and then three, did you see the sales from your previous books go up a little bit, like a spike to go along with the release?
No, to be perfectly honest, actually, from the beginning, even like, you know, book one, you know, it was bought up by my friends, my relatives. It was the best sold book.
Okay.
And every next book was sold in fewer numbers.
Okay.
To the point where now it's really, my sales are really not significant at all. So,
okay, I'm curious to see with this marketing company and with coming out with like book five or something, to see what that affects. So I'd love to hear more later how things are going.
I would love to get back to you on that and have some good news for you.
I know these are in English. Are you releasing them in other languages and other countries?
No, in other countries, yes, through Amazon worldwide distribution. Now with the new company that I'm working with, I will soon be using Ingram Sparks and other ebook outlets or the platforms,
aggregators and stuff.
Yeah, distributors,
right there,
whatever you want to call them. It's so I am hoping to reach a wider audience with that. But the book has, or books have been sold in, I don't know, at least 6-7 different countries, as far as I know. What I could, see on my reports, the Kindle platform. But otherwise, no, I'm not thinking about translating books just now. Obviously, I would love to get to that. Exactly. Yeah. Almost. This is also. It's also a matter of cost. I could get these books translated tomorrow. Now, I've asked around. I know what that would mean, but it's just not. It's not feasible right now. It's just not.
Right. So, living outside of the U.S., is it difficult handling the whole business aspect of it for the U.S. market? Because Amazon, that's their biggest book market, is in the U.S.
I would say yes. I would say yes. I'm not entirely sure. I don't have the experience or the in-market, inside of the industry knowledge to be able to really discuss this. But my feeling is that yes, because, for example, I don't have the opportunity to just go around and talk to teachers or librarians, or, I mean, I could, but again, it's difficult for me to plan such a trip and all that. Whereas if you're local, at least you can locally start doing that in your own town. And that is, you could be lucky enough that one of those people that you can easily meet in your own neighborhood or in your own environment is somebody that knows somebody. And maybe that kind of, you know, rolls the whole story, the whole thing. And, because it is a bit more difficult, but that's why I'm using these guys now, trying to get through to these very specific target audiences. Because it's not, you write for kids, but your buyers are grown-ups mostly.
Right.
That's a really important specific of this genre, of this age group, and then the target the market is twofold. You have your readers and you have your buyers, and you need to find basically people who connect these two separate groups, basically. And these people are teachers, librarians, mostly people who can recommend books to both parents and to the kids. And I don't have a clean access to these people, and that's one of the reasons why I'm using now. I have a working relationship with these guys.
Yeah, marketing books to kids is definitely a unique challenge and a unique beast compared to just writing a thriller for the 45-year-old market. Mm-hmm. Definitely a different thing you got to think about. So you said you've got book 4 out and you're working on book 5, and I know this is an adventure series. What takes place in book 4, and what are you writing about in book 5? Because I know they go all over the place here.
I will actually show you. It's right here. And I will show you the cover.
Okay.
And this might give you a little bit of an idea. It's my favorite cover, and it's my favorite book so far.
Nice.
And it's actually, it's set in a wintertime, and basically, obviously, there's frozen rivers and ice sheets and scrap yards and stuff like that. And but it also touches a little bit on the environment and environmental issues. There's a homemade electric car in it, e-vehicle. There's a couple of things that I've just had a little bit of fun with. But it does, I can't say that it tackles environmental issues, but it mentions a little bit of those. So this is book 4 and And book 5 is, I'm just developing the story now and the outline, but this is going to have a little bit of art in it. There's going to be some, you know, nasty people who are trying to steal some beautiful art, and so on and so forth. So we'll see,
So you're definitely living up to the name, the Project Adventure. And I think the book cover looks, you know, spot on for a middle grade book.
It is. I've actually had, what are they called? They're like the design critics or something like that. And my book 1 cover, the Heart of the Island cover, was actually chosen to be discussed and analyzed in one like online event. I had, this is the book 1.
Right. I remember that one.
And it was really praised. I said, I love this for the genre. That's what it is. This is not a serious cover. But for the genre, for a 9 or 10 year old kid that picks it up, it tells them, the cover tells them a little bit of what they can expect in the book. There's always this mystery. There's always these shadows lurking in the background. Yeah, I'm very happy with how my covers look like. So I think that's, in all honesty, this is part of the whole process, a part of the journey. I didn't want to just write some books and then you put them in a cheap cover. It needs to be a whole product.
Right.
It needs to look good and, you know, not disappoint when they actually read it. And I can show you now, if you have just a little bit of time, this is book 3. This is my homage to basketball, and it's my sport.
I kind of did the same thing. I've got a cartoonist that lives in the local area that I employed to create a cover. And I think they came out really nice. And I found, and this is one of the things I've learned, that the guy who does the drawing for the cover, if you get one custom, doesn't necessarily have to be the same person that puts all the lettering and stuff on. Because I talked to him and he was like, I have no clue. I can make whatever picture you want me to. So that's when I realized, oh, that makes sense, because you don't have to. And if you go to a book designer, a cover designer, I should say, they'll say, what picture do you want? And you choose picture, and a lot of times they'll combine a couple or manipulate them. But the cover designer isn't the one making the pictures. And just in my head, it took me a minute. So that's one of the lessons I've learned. You can get the best of both worlds that way then.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because exactly, this is, I learned that as well with my first book. I was like, look at the cover designer. And just like, oh no, but art director. You know, I'm not an illustrator. I was like, okay, hold on. So wait, dude, are you telling me that I need an illustrator as well? Yeah, of course. So that was like, okay, then let's try to figure this out. So I had an art director, a person that did the design of the cover and everything. And basically through, I would give her the idea of what the cover should be, generally. Every cover is basically a scene or a mix of a couple of important scenes, the feel of the book. And then from there, she will then create like very rudimentary, like crude drawings, just to put things in perspective and very, just literally just drawings. And then from there, then we would develop that, and then we would go to an illustrator, then he would then put it all together in a proper illustration with colors and everything. But this was, it's a process. It's
especially for middle grade, because you got to hit that just right. A middle grade doesn't usually have the same type of covers that young adult have, even though there's only a year or two difference sometimes between the readers. So it's definitely something's different. And that's, again, one of the things I learned. Looking at them.
Yeah. I think kids at this age, they do judge the book by its covers.
Very much so, yeah.
To a much higher percentage or extent than grown-ups would. So,
well, you know, I look back at the Hardy Boys books that I used to read. It always had Frank and Joe, like some action scene in this. Oh, that looks cool. I want to read what that one is.
Exactly. And I've been told many times that my books are reminiscent of the Hardy Boys. That's exactly what they are. Obviously, there's a million other authors and books like that. So, but you can't really do something extremely new in middle grade.
So. Yeah, but again, they're usually pretty voracious readers. So if Hardy Boys, they will read the whole series in a week or two, and then they want more, just some adults do. That's the one good thing about middle grade. Once you hook some readers, if you've got the books, they'll get them. They'll read them. Look at the Goosebumps books from 20, 30 years ago. He wrote one a month for 6-7 years.
Yeah, that is definitely, it's a high bar.
Yeah, definitely. All right, David, I appreciate you taking some time talking to us, giving us an update on what's going on in your writing. Do you have any advice for authors? Now that you've been doing this for longer, you've gotten more books. Do you have any advice you would give some of the authors listening?
I was thinking about what to say if you ask me this question. I think you asked me this question before, maybe, or I don't know, maybe somebody else did. I think persistence, you have to stick it out. You have to be persistent and just get better, which you do if you're working on it, if you're writing, and if you're doing all this other stuff. Mind you, we're talking about self-published authors here. I cannot say I've never been published by a publishing house. So I don't know what that's like. Maybe I'll find out someday.
Maybe the marketing company will help you get your book so you won't have to worry about it.
Exactly. Who knows? Yeah, that's not the answer that you want to hear.
I don't know. Persistence, like I said, I know some authors that will spend 4 or 5 years on a first book, they'll put it out and then they sell 10 and they're like, that was a waste. They get disappointed and they quit. Persistence, you're an example right there. You're working on your fifth book right now. So
I can tell you that sales have been nothing but a huge disappointment for me. Absolutely huge disappointment so far. But I'm still working on it. I'm not going to let it go just because I'm Now I have everything covered. I know everything about, there is to know, not everything, obviously. But I know so much now that it's like, there's no excuse for me. I cannot stop now. To the point where I know how to write books. I know that the books are good because kids have been telling me that. I mean, kids from all over the world. Some kids that are not my friends or my friends' kids have bought these books, and they bought all of them, and they said these books are fantastic. So there's something to it. There's got to be, you just need to stick it out. You just need to...
persistence, you know, and keep going.
Persistence, keep going. And yes, it's frustrating, and yes, this part, I don't really enjoy doing the it's great, these interviews and chat to people, and that's fine. That's great. But when you have to go like on Instagram and figure out how to post something that's very cool, that's not who I am. That's not what I do. It's very difficult for me to do that stuff. For some people, that is, it comes naturally to them, like to play on Instagram for an hour. I can't do that. I mean, I have better things to do with my life than Instagram. Don't tell that to my target audience because they're on Instagram, actually.
Yeah, no, the kids move to different social media like every other week, so who knows?
Parents, young mothers or fathers who are buying the books, they're on Instagram influencers or whatever you call it.
Oh, I've got Instagram for the same reason. I'm like, oh, a lot of parents are on there. So after this episode, it's probably going to be a little bit, couple weeks, but I'll put a clip up on my Instagram and I'll share it to you. So together, great, maybe we could pass it off a little bit to some new people.
That's absolutely, the show, yeah, absolutely. Because now with these guys, they're doing some stuff with my Facebook page as well, and Instagram. They're posting a little bit, so I'm getting a little bit more of traffic there. Nice. So definitely, yeah. Just, well, I'm happy to help in any way, and this. We're all in this together. There's no real competition here. Books and everything here. It's just the common goal for all of us is to get more, in our case, more kids to read.
Right.
And, there are new kids coming every day. I mean, right. There's more and more. There's more and more people on this planet. So
right.
It's not like we're losing the audience or the readers. There's more and more of them.
I definitely appreciate talking with you, and you say it's not going as great, because part of the goal of the podcast is to actually help and inspire other writers. Because for me, when I was on some of these Facebook groups and they're like, yeah, I made $45,000 this month. I'm like, my God, I can't even get one book out. And yeah, they made it seem like, oh, this is easy. Everybody should make tons of money. And then I'm not doing it. And I felt I'm a failure, but I'm not. Yeah. And I wish you the best. I do wish things for you to go better, but I think it's also good for others to hear. Not everybody just snaps their fingers and the books take off. There's work, as you said, persistence, and you got to keep doing it if that's what you love.
I would just have to say again that it's just keep doing it. If you like doing it, keep doing it, because I'm only doing it for a year, 2 years, maybe. Yeah, maybe 2 years now since I actually started thinking about writing. And I'm now in a position where I have 4 books and I'm like mad at myself for not having more because I've been lazy and doing other stuff lately. So serious. And it's like, so you can do it. It's not. And then hope for the best and keep working, keep giving your best. You can't tell what tomorrow's going to bring. You just can't. Look, for example, people like, was it Stephen King John Grisham. Stephen King wasn't a bestseller at the beginning. John Grisham, he was selling, he would use a photocopier at office and then sold his books out of the trunk of his car. He was trying to sell books out of the trunk of his car. These guys have busted their rear ends to get to the point where they are today. I'm not saying that I want to or need that or anything. But having a satisfactory writer's career might be a goal worth fighting for. Because in the end, it's a great job.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree, man.
Much better than having a boss.
Absolutely.
Apart from your wife,
I was gonna say, we've got wives. That's all the boss.
Exactly.
David, hey, it was great catching up with you. We'll keep in touch, and maybe we'll hear back from you in a year or so and see how things are going better for you.
Absolutely. And just to let you know, I am planning on recording
perfect
a few. As you can see, I actually marked a couple of these with Uno and stuff cards.
Nice.
So I'm definitely, as soon as I get settled down in the new office kind of a place, I'm going to make a recording for you. I can even use this, right? Or
yeah, if you want to drop me an email, we'll set something up. We can get right on here just like we're doing now, and you can read and we can record it.
I will just record it and send you the file if that's whatever. I just have to figure out what's the best way to do it, but no worries. It's not going to be long. I mean, the chapters are not that long. Yeah,
perfect.
It's not going to be a long audio. All right. Thank you so much, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you. And you have a great week, great couple, whatever. Yeah. Good luck with school.
Thank you for listening to Discovered Wordsmiths. Come back next week and listen to another author discuss the road they've traveled, and maybe, sometime in the near future, it might be you.